bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Hello, all you valued listeners. I hope you all had a great weekend trying to find something to do during these unprecedented times, during this quarantine. Gosh, what a time. Seriously, what a time to be living in right now. Not a good one, but definitely an interesting one, to say the very least. In case you missed the announcement last week, For the foreseeable future, given the high volume of people who have volunteered to be guests here on the podcast, I am able to bring you two podcasts a week now for the foreseeable future during this quarantine to kind of help keep you all sane, give you something to listen to. Those podcasts will continue to be posted on Tuesdays and Thursdays during this quarantine process, or whatever you want to call it. Well, I had the privilege to catch up with a friend of mine at the tail end of last week. He talked about the upcoming draft as well as just some other things on his mind. So I'm talking to my buddy Larry this week. Larry, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, perfect. Larry and I were talking beforehand about kind of like, Larry, what do you want to talk about? And Larry goes, I don't know. I'm just a guy in my apartment doing random stuff during the quarantine. And
when you say it, it sounds pretty lame when I hear it back.
And you're like, I don't know, we can just talk about random little stuff. I know you said you had kind of like wrote some stuff down. Here's the thing. You don't think you're an interesting guy, but I guarantee by the end of this, you're going to be like, oh, I guess there is this or that or that.
Yeah.
So for example, we're on a Zoom call right now. Obviously people are listening, so they're not going to be able to see that we were on a Zoom call. But like I see pictures behind you on canvas that are up on your wall. Did you paint those?
Yeah. What you're seeing is, I'm coming to you live from my studio apartment, downtown Detroit. And those would be, drunkenly drawn, painting with a twist paintings randomly hung on nails that were sticking out of the bricks when we moved in. So they're kind of sporadically placed to add some color, I guess. We didn't know where else to put them.
I guess you utilized what you had, though. You utilized the randomly placed nails that were already up on the wall, so that you got that going for you.
Yeah, we live in an old coat factory, so it's like they turned this, I guess, a factory for coats, which I can't even imagine. They turned it into a bunch of apartments, so this old-ass building's got these old brick walls, and if you can see up there, that circle thing is like where like some exhaust was at one point, and they just filled in with like a circle of cement, which maybe might fall at any point. I don't know. It looks in there, but so it's kind of a cool vibe in here, but it's also like you get like nails in the brick that have probably been there from like 1913 or something.
That's
you
crazy.
Know, I don't really know, but yeah, it's cool. It's a nice vibe.
And how long have you lived in that particular apartment then?
Been here since about September. It's like kind of by Corktown, but outside of Corktown. So it's more of a, you know, I guess it's in like the industrial area of Detroit. So there's like nothing going on over here. If I ride my bike around, it takes me a minute before I get to like any kind of population. It's kind of like, it's industrial. There's a lot of businesses around here. So this is like really the only residence. But other than that, it's a decent area.
Well, I realized after I asked that might have been a weird question because I understood the context of why I was asking versus obviously you didn't. Because you've been there for a good number of months now. Have you kind of just noticed, you were talking about how, you know, coat factory turned apartments and you kind of randomly find stuff. Have you just randomly, like, do you still randomly continually find stuff within the apartment? They were like, oh, wow, I didn't notice this before or that before.
It's definitely like they had like a floor in here that's like never was meant for people to live in. Like our kitchen floor is like it's like it's the subfloor of a factory or something. So you kind of notice this and you're like, this wasn't, I don't think, supposed to be the apartment floor, but it is. And then the other half of our studio is like concrete flooring, which is like more reinforced for some reason. It's really kind of strange. It's very unique. They definitely made it into an apartment, and it's more of a factory than an apartment, I think. But
are you a history guy?
I do. Yeah, I like history. I like tours.
I just think about like that's, it's very interesting to me to kind of like have that mindset of like be living in a place like that and to have that mindset of like, oh, I bet this was for that, or like this wasn't for this.
And right. Things like there's that this too. Big old door downstairs. This guy, he was moving out one day when we were walking in, and there's this giant metal door, and he's like, hey, want to check out our apartment? Because we were sitting there looking at it like a bunch of weirdos. And so he invited us into his apartment he was moving out of, and he had like a big, big iron door that I guess they probably took materials in and out of. And like you go down into this like concrete basement and then up some stairs and you're into his apartment. So he had like a full basement in his apartment. It was super like weird. It was like the corner of a factory turned into his apartment. It was really unique, weird. Man. No, it was weird.
But Larry, what do you have? Because you didn't give me your list. What do you have on your list over there that you're like, I got some surprises. Ideas of random stuff.
I was like, man, I'm going to talk to Trent about my life and what is my life right now in quarantine? You know, what am I doing? What's anyone doing?
A question all of us are asking. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm laid off waiting for sicknesses to go away so I can be out in the world. And I'm just keeping myself busy with our cats and my Nintendo 64 and some job applying and studying for a certification and just random odds and ends, biking around Detroit, just kind of doing whatever I feel like doing every day, I guess, which is kind of fun. My girlfriend, she works from home still, so she's working during the day. And since we're in a studio, it's like I'm at work. So I have to like pretend to play Nintendo 64 like professionally in the background of her Zoom meetings. Try not to throw the computer controller when Mario beats me in Mario Golf again for like the eighth time today. just stuff like that is, I guess, my life right now.
I've been playing Mario Kart on my phone, so I can understand the frustrations and everything. I find myself very often getting hit at the end of the race and then going from second to eighth very quickly, and many explicitives like just coming out of my mouth because I'm so frustrated that I just lost.
Yeah, that is the worst, man. Right at the end when they get you with some random green shell that's been bouncing around since the first lap, it's like, come on. Yeah.
Larry, you mentioned you were laid off. What is it that you were doing?
So I was working for an IT company, and it's actually kind of a bummer of life that I was working for a different company for like 4 or 5 years, and things were going good. And a recruiter reached out to me with this IT company, and they're like, we got this sweet job for you. And I was like, oh, that sounds okay. So I ended up leaving this company I'd been at, you know, and I was like, I'm going to make the leap, you know, I'm going to change career paths and see what happens. And then 5 months later, they're like, oh, funny story. You're the new guy around here and we need to lay someone off. So see you later. And it's kind of like, well, you know, that's how life goes sometimes. So you take chances and jobs and it doesn't go quite as you planned, but you know, nothing you can really be upset about in the current state of affairs. So, you know, it's kind of like the whole entire economy is going in a weird direction. And, you know, that's just kind of how it is. So I'm just happy to sit at home and try not to get sick. So
what is it that got you into IT? Like, where did that passion come from?
I was working for a software company, and the guy reached out to me, told me he was working for the job was with an IT company. And I was just thinking about it, like, you know, IT is everything, really. Maybe that's not exactly true, but it's applicable to so many different companies and jobs. Like, everyone needs IT, everyone needs infrastructure. So I thought, hey, this should be a safe career move, you know, moving to something that, you know, is common. So I wanted to learn IT more. Because I was working with software, I didn't know too much about networks and the hardware that goes into it. So just wanted to learn about that stuff, which I did a lot of. And I'm doing a lot of now studying for a certification. It's like a CompTIA is a company basically that oversees like these certifications for IT professionals. And I'm just kind of taking it's called the A+. I'm just taking it to get knowledge of computers and networks and all that stuff just to kind of have and maybe use in a job in the future. But really just things I've never known. Like, why don't I know how a computer works? You know, like, why don't I know that? I use it all the time. So, you know, I'm just learning that. It was something I was doing in my job before. I didn't have a job anymore. And so I just kind of continued learning about it since I thought it was important to know. So it's kind of my day to day between the Mario golf rounds.
Well, of course, the everyday millennial and older has seen the growth of technology and everything within the past 10, 20, 30 years. But being in IT, have you seen a growth in a different way, like just through all the work IT is doing? And I'm sure all the security and all of the other stuff that I don't know and I'm not knowledgeable about, have you mm-hmm. seen a growth in terms of like an IT perspective as well?
I guess the most interesting thing that I like noticed there was, because I was more of like an account manager kind of thing. So I wasn't deep into the knowledge of everything. I worked with people that knew all that stuff, but I just was always feeling like, hey, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So I wanted to know more. So the craziest thing that I learned is like, we can make the hardware infrastructure of your network like pretty secure, and it's pretty hard to get into. So like the overwhelming majority of ways people get like hacked and stuff is just from like clicking on emails. And like it's really hard to train like a 60-year-old person who's just not used to spam to like, just don't click that when you get an email, don't click it. So they click it and then they're in your network because they, you know, download something when the email gets clicked. And so it was crazy that like you can do all these thousands of dollars into your network to be as safe as possible. And then some guy, Randy, just clicks an email and you're done. and then they're asking you for ransom to get your data back. It's like, it's terrifying actually. But it's just wild that you can try to secure something so much just to have the door kicked open that easy. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Detroit?
North of Detroit, Macomb County. That's where I'm from. So living in Detroit's a little different.
Different how so?
It's just not the suburbs, you know. I grew up in like a suburb of Detroit, you know. It was take the highway, take this exit nobody else gets off at unless you live here. That's where a subdivision is and that's where you live. And now it's like there's things going on. There's, you know, my girlfriend and I will take our bikes out and we'll bike downtown and go to a restaurant or a bar when we weren't in quarantine, you know, go down by the river. These crazy events are going on, this person's speaking, this concert. So there's all sorts of things we can be doing all the time. And when I grew up in Macomb, it's kind of like, let's drive over to the strip mall and maybe 7-Eleven. You know, it's not this total different vibe. You can't like walk anywhere, take an Uber 5 minutes and be somewhere cool. We've been doing a lot of, before this whole thing happened, we've been doing a lot of bar hopping and just, there's hundreds of bars and we're like, we haven't been here. Why haven't we been here? Let's go. And then we'd have a drink and we'd bar hop. Hey, let's have a drink here. So we're just discovering new places and it just never ends down here. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I released a podcast recently and I was talking to a buddy of mine and he said, you know, I never thought I would say this, but I miss paying $7 for a beer. He goes, I want this to end so I can go somewhere and pay $7 for a beer again. And
right.
In my head, I was like, well, $7, I don't even think I'd want to pay that still. But I mean, I think by the point that this is over with all the stay-at-home orders being extended and everything now till at least almost the end of May, I think that I'm going to be in that same boat. I'm going to be ready to go back just to that atmosphere and everything.
Yeah, I'm sick of saving money. This is BS. Let's go spend it all. That's a ridiculous $15 cocktail, sir. Absurdly priced.
When I just said to my wife, I said, we need to talk about why we have so much money in the bank account right now. I said, don't we usually like, are someone not paying their bills or something?
Yeah.
She goes, no, I think it's just,
this month?
Right. She goes, no, I think it's just that we're not going out and spending money because there's nowhere to go out and spend money for.
Can't go to dinner. Can't just. Yeah, you don't do much of anything where you spend money, which is kind of cool, you know, just given
stuff you don't think about usually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely where I keep looking at my bank account too. And I'm like, I have more money than I think I should be having right now. Like, what's going on here?
And, I guess it's a good thing.
That's it. Yeah, I think so. think so. So I thought weird. Of a cool little bond we share here, Trent.
Yeah.
Do you know my name is Laurent?
I only knew that because of the way it's popping up on Zoom. But I did not know that beforehand.
Why do I come up that way on Zoom? That's weird.
I don't know. You come
my Facebook's
as
Larry. Weird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just thought, I see your shirt there. It says rent because the T's behind the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, we're a couple rents. Rent and rent. Laurent and T rent, I guess.
So have you gone by Larry your entire life?
Yeah, yeah. My dad's name's Larry, but my mom didn't want to name me Larry as a full name, so she gave me the name Laurent, being it's like a French name. It's supposed to be like said, like Laurent or something. Or
oh, cool.
Laurent, I guess.
Sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah. I don't say it like that. And actually, I was in Canada one time, and there's a lot of Canadian French speakers there, a lot of Laurents and stuff. And this guy I was working with, he saw my name tag that said Laurent. And he came up to me, he was very excited, and he started speaking Canadian French like really fast. And he just assumed by my name that I also knew French. And I was just staring at him like a deer in the headlights, and I had to stop him. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know. And I could just see like the sadness come over him, like, oh, I thought I had a French friend I could speak with. And he spoke English, but like, you know, it's his native, you know,
right,
kind of Quebec language is French. And he was just, he was kind of sad. Like, sorry, I'm just an imposter.
So does everyone call you Larry, or are there a certain group of people that call you Laurent?
Just when my mom is angry at me, do I get called Laurent?
Okay.
Laurent Christopher. And I know I'm in trouble back in the day, at least. I don't really go by it. It's just, back in school, it used to be like, you know how they do roll call at the beginning of you know, the class period, and the like substitute teacher would not know who you were. So it always was last name, comma, first name. And there was always just enough characters where it would come up last name, comma, Lauren, and cut the T off only.
Oh.
And so the substitute would be like, Lauren, Lauren. And you knew it was you because it was that point in the alphabet where you're like, okay, this is me.
Yeah.
And I'd raise my hand, and they'd like 50% of the time they wouldn't believe me. And they were like, are you messing with me? And other kids in the class had to be like, no, that's Lauren. That's him. It was just one of those things where you're like, I'm not lying to you, but there's no way you're going to believe me because I see it in your eyes that you don't. You think, man, I'm messing with you.
If only they could have just squeezed in the last letter of your name.
Right.
Onto that.
It was just the luck of the number of characters, I guess. It was always interesting. The other kids in the class would always have to come and defend me. Like, he's not messing with you. So it's one of the joys of having a name like that.
You're a big baseball fan, aren't you? No.
I used to be a bigger baseball fan.
Yeah, you're not.
Not quite anymore.
By that reaction, you don't even have to lie to me. I could tell.
No. I'm really someone who used to enjoy watching the Tigers a lot more.
That's who I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the past few years have been not ones that I'm real excited about. So I just kind of, I'm more of a bandwagon. So yeah, I'm off the bandwagon currently.
Are you a sports guy at all?
Yeah, the Lions are, I like the Lions for sure. My number one team. I don't bandwagon them. I'm always with them. I bandwagon pretty much on the Pistons and the Tigers. Red Wings I'm usually pretty interested in, but the Lions are where I focus. So I'm pretty excited. We got the draft coming up next week. It's going to be weird. All these old,
it will be weird.
Yeah. These old NFL like GMs are going to be on like, I guess, a conference call like, oh, I want to pick this guy here, you know, and like, it's going to be probably a shit show. If I can say that. Sorry.
That's all right.
But yeah, it should be interesting. All these people trying to figure out this technology on such like a major event where like millions and millions of dollars are at stake. And you got to like get on a Zoom conference call, just like everyone else at work right now. It's gonna be fun.
Do you think the Lions will ever make a Super Bowl in our lifetime?
Usually about July or August of every year, I'm totally convinced that they will go to the Super Bowl this year. And then about October of every year, I realize that that's not going to happen. So right now I'm getting pretty positive. I think they can do it one year. I think other teams have shown us it's possible, like the Cubs recently, and I think Boston had a really dry streak for years and years, and Maybe I'm wrong. No, that was, yeah, like 04 or something. I don't know. I don't really know anything, but I know there's a lot of teams that haven't won in a long time, and they've pulled it off. So why can't the Lions?
Well, who just went, was it San Francisco that just went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
recently.
The Chiefs in the 49ers. Yeah.
And it was, I don't remember which one of them, but I thought it was one of them that had never been to a Super Bowl, or had it been a very long time.
The Chiefs were in the first ever Super Bowl, and okay, they haven't been there since. So it was
maybe
like
that's
cool, like
of.
They're back now thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been like 50 something years. And so they're back, and yeah, it's, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, that's probably a huge deal. I would imagine.
At least they've been there.
Yeah. Right. They've sniffed it.
Right.
They've won it now. Yeah.
More than we can say as Lions fans.
Yeah, man. You know, we're kind of a wreck sometimes, but one day,
most
I would say.
Most yeah, times they're a wreck.
Yep. Yeah.
What else you got on your list over there?
Well, nothing too incredibly much. No. I mean, how much do you want to hear about my cats and my biking and my broken collarbone and my, you know, just
all of it. Cover all of it. Actually, I was wondering, I was actually going to bring up earlier, because I thought that was a bike in the background, but I couldn't tell.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, that's our bikes back there. That's been my saving grace in this quarantine is, you know, it's a studio, so I don't have a lawn to go stand outside on. So I go, you know, my girlfriend's at work, working from home, and I go bike around the city, and I, you know, it's really weird because like Detroit is usually like from 9 to 5 every day is full of people on a weekday, and then at 5 o'clock everybody kind of leaves the city and goes to the suburbs, and now it's like empty all the time except for like bikers and joggers. So like anyone who's would be normally driving around, like all the cars are off the road, but a ton of people are like fishing at the river, like people are like doing the things they're like allowed. Yeah, no, they can do it now. At least last week this was. So I think it was
okay
before she said that.
Okay.
Yeah, we walked down there and there's like, God, there's probably 50 people fishing on the river, like all okay, like 10 feet apart from each other. But yeah, I've just been driving, like riding around, looking at the stadiums and just killing time being outside. It's, you know, weird times being locked up in your apartment, in your house, but it's kind of fun and interesting. Just finding ways to be busy and talking to people on these Zoom calls and things like that, and house party app and Facebook Messenger, and you know, it's kind of cool. I'm actually face to facing with people I normally wouldn't have probably seen this often otherwise, just because we're locked up, we want to like FaceTime, but normally we probably wouldn't have seen each other for weeks at a time. It's kind of, I don't know, it's interesting. People are like aware of not getting social interaction, so they're like going out of their way to like contact their friends and talk. It feels like it's cool in that way, I guess.
It has been interesting to see that change. And I think especially now with everything being extended for essentially another month
from
what the original end date was and everything, I think that people are going to continue to kind of hang out and stuff. Do you think, and I've had this conversation with a couple different people, I just want to get your take on it. Do you think that quote unquote normal is going to be what we were used to, or what do you think that new normal will look like?
Yeah, it's going to be totally, totally different. It's kind of like everything, I'm not, you know, trying to be a political person, but like everything like crazy, you know, all the Democratic candidates were saying about like healthcare and like all these things that are just like seem so far away and crazy to like think about. It's like all of that is kind of at the forefront now, and we're all forced to think about things like that. It's like, oh, I think we should think about how we should be healthy. You know, it's just, it's crazy. I think people's minds have been shifted into like an interpersonal way, and everyone's kind of been kicked out of their rut of 9 to 5. Like, this is my process every day. I go to work, I come home, I stop at Subway on the way home, you know, like specific things people do every day have been kind of rocked. And they're maybe reinventing themselves, reimagining what their life can be like, finding that they have time at home with their family, and they're saying, oh wait, that's maybe a little more important to me. Maybe I shouldn't have this job where I work till 7 at night and then have to commute home. And, you know, people I think are seeing life a little differently, discovering they can do their job easily from home. Maybe more companies are going to realize, I don't need this big office space. Half our workforce was fine. We didn't lose any productivity at home. Like, there's just a million things that I think we're going to just be different after all this.
Yeah, and that was something that came up in something that I was talking about. I don't remember if it was during a podcast or just another conversation I was having, but about that work from home, about how maybe companies will start to take a look at that and be like, oh yeah, we maybe mm-hmm. this is something that not necessarily we won't do all the time, but that will right. start to allow a little bit more, give the opportunity or flexibility to do at times.
Yeah, it's like it's broken like the social norm of like, 8 to 5, you have to be in this office working because that's what we've done for 60 years. You know, it's like, it's making people realize there's a different way to do life and a different way to kind of operate in your current, way of living, and you can do it different. Maybe people are going to take that as a way to, I don't know, change their life for something they like to do a little more or something. I don't know. That's the hope, I guess. I hope there's a good that comes out of this, and I hope that's it.
And I wonder if we'll see that in the way that jobs are advertised when they're posted and everything too, if that'll be something that's written into the description at all. And I know you had mentioned you were job yeah. searching. I can only imagine that just like me, job yeah. searching, it's very much hindered right now. And there's really, I don't know if you're having the same luck I am, which is zero, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really weird. And it's kind of like more discouraging than usual because it's like this person might not actually even be hiring.
Right.
You know, oh, I didn't right. hear back from them. And it might just be because they're not hiring right now, even though they have the posting up. I've gotten a few answer backs that are like, we're not hiring actually. It's like, okay, well, can't someone remove the posting? Right. Like, why yeah. is it up there?
Glad I wasted my time doing this when you're not yeah. even doing anything with
it. Weren't we talking about the other day, writing cover letters and how?
Oh, yeah, we were. Yeah.
And how you get to the end of an application and it's like, oh, you didn't want me to write this cover letter I wrote up for you? Or the other way around?
I'd say, yeah, or about we had, because that had stemmed off of the post that I had about resumes, about how you yeah. upload a resume and then they want you to go through and manually enter all of your employment information.
that just happened to me again the other day. Yeah. I was like, why am I typing this?
Well, even when it pulls in mm-hmm. from your resume, I still hate that because it's not pulling in the correct field or it's pulling in different bits and pieces. So I have to fix it anyway.
Yeah. You get two jobs that are like mashed together in one and right. you're like, how did this happen?
Right.
What punctuation did I use that jammed these in the same box? Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, totally fun out there. I've been focusing more on getting this IT certification than job searching recently, just because I had gotten back like 3 or 4, hey, we're not actually hiring right now. And I'm like, I'm just going to wait a little bit and just kind of casually, you know, I can afford to do that right now, I guess. Because I'm not spending any money on $7 beers.
Especially in Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. Some places are better than others. Some you go to and you're like, this place isn't that cool. Why is it so expensive here? And it's like a trendy hipstery place. And you're like, okay, well, it's okay, but I'm probably not buying anything here again.
Right. One and done, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's how it goes in any city, I think, really. But
Larry, talk to me about this broken collarbone that you mentioned.
Yeah, man. Just...
Not, let me just say, not currently. He does not currently have a broken collarbone.
Yeah, I can look at me lift his arm all the way over my head. My doctor would be so proud. So I actually had a job that I was traveling a lot for. I don't know if you ever knew that about me, but I was traveling mm-hmm. for work before I switched jobs to this one that I lost. And I was excited about it because I was like, I get to play soccer with like some of my friends from high school. They have a soccer team, like an indoor soccer team. So I started playing with them in like this adult Thursday night league. And I played with them one time and it was awesome. I was terribly out of shape and I thought I was going to die. And so I started running a little bit and I was getting in better shape. And I was like, this is awesome. So the next time I went to play, it was like the end of December and I was running down the field with the ball. And like, I was kind of off balance because I was about to kick it. And this guy like just runs into me from like, I guess from my left side behind me kind of. And he just knocked me straight down on my face. Like, I did not catch myself at all. And oh my gosh. Went down onto like my face and my right shoulder. And it, it just fractured the collarbone, right? Like the collarbone goes all the way out to like your shoulder joint, like way out there. So it's like way out there. It's not like your collarbone, like you're thinking by your neck. But anyway, I started off 2020 in a cast, couldn't do anything, couldn't move for a while because all my
muscles were so sore. Oh, this was recently.
Yeah. That was up until basically March. And then I got laid off right when my arm was feeling good. So I've been, really on a hot streak, Trent.
Oh my goodness.
It's all good. I don't have any, you know, life's very good for me. Just don't have coronavirus and things are good. It's not a complaint, but it is a little comical. Yeah. It's just sometimes things like that happen. I've broken my leg before sledding, went down a hill. Actually, you know, those round sleds that spin around in circles.
Yeah. Those are the fun ones.
Yeah. They're insane. Right. And I was standing on one of those.
I
went down a hill.
This makes sense.
I was spinning and I hit a little ramp. And I didn't die. And so then I went down the hill on a normal sled and I jumped this little ramp and I went into a forest and had to stop myself by putting my leg out on a tree. And so I broke my leg that way on the normal sled.
Oh my gosh.
So I have a history of breaking myself stupid ways.
Trent.
That's how I roll sometimes, man.
Or how you fall.
Yeah, right. That's how I fall, man. That's how I fall.
Larry,
a little history.
What would you say has been the... I'm trying to figure out how I want to word this. What would you say has been like the biggest piece of your like life that's gotten you to where you are today?
Where I am today in my apartment, locked in. That's a good question. I just I had an interesting job out of college. It was like a fraternity consultant job. So I actually moved to New Jersey and I traveled around New York and New Jersey and I would go to our different fraternity houses and I'd walk in there and have to tell them to stop doing stupid stuff. And, basically consult them on like what they're doing and like how they should be doing it better and how they should be following the rules. And so like just like interpersonal interaction and like consulting has been like ever since then, it's been like a career path for me, I guess. And I've just been in all sorts of weird different industries like IT, like automotive, even worked for a dating service for a while where I was selling like matchmaking memberships. And that was right after the fraternity job. Yeah. It's just kind of like a skill, like listening to what people are doing and helping them, just consulting them, I guess, on what you know that can help them, I guess. And it's not really specific to any kind of job or anything. It's just kind of a theme, I guess, with every job that I've had is just kind of like a be the person who can help. Even if I don't really know, just someone who can find the answer for people. And that's kind of what I've been doing in my job. And I guess that'd be the theme of my life post-college, at least. And it's worked out okay, I guess.
Larry, top three things you've learned in life or pieces of advice that were given to you. Top three.
Oh, man. Top three advices that I've been given. Oh, man.
And if you need to use your girlfriend, who I know is sitting near you, for any... She could also contribute.
I think she was sick of me and she kind of moved all the way 15 feet across our apartment.
Oh, well that makes sense. I'd get sick of you.
Put her headphones in. She's done with me, I think. I don't know about specific advice that I've got.
If you don't have a top three, just give me one.
There's a lot of good things out there. Like, I mean, you just don't take things too crazy serious. I don't know if horoscopes or anything you're interested in. I'm not really, but I'm always told I'm a Pisces. I go with the flow and that's kind of like how my life operates. And just, okay, well this happened. I broke my collarbone, whatever. Let's see how this goes. Hey, I got laid off from my job. That's all right. We'll find another one. You know, it's kind of like you can't fight against the current too hard or you're going to just wear yourself out and drive yourself nuts. And you just kind of go with it. Things are going to happen that won't be too bad. Just, you'll be okay. just go with the flow, man. It's going to be fine. Just be open to things. Don't be judgy and don't get too bent out of shape about stuff and you'll be all right. That's kind of my advice that I've kind of, I guess, learned over the years. Just sort of can be an anxious person sometimes, and sometimes remembering like, what's the problem here? Just relax, you know, and then things usually work out pretty good. So I don't know if that's good for every piece of someone's life, but I think overall it can be helpful to some people who just get a little too intense with stuff.
Well, I think that's really well said, but that also might dovetail into the last question that I have for you.
All right.
So either it's going to be exactly what you just said and you can say, I have nothing more to say, or maybe you have something else. But the last question I always ask people as we start to wrap up is, what is it that you want listeners to take away from this podcast? So whether that's something that you've talked about today, or maybe it's something you haven't talked about, but what would you want them to take away from you, Larry, Laurent?
Laurent, yeah. No, I can come up with something better than that, I think. Maybe not. Who knows? Everybody's kind of in this quarantine situation. I don't know when anybody might listen to this podcast, but chances are we'll all be quarantined still. So,
oh, we'll be quarantined. I don't know when people will listen to you, but we'll be quarantined still.
Yeah. So next January, when we're good to leave the house again, just enjoy what you're doing. Like, everybody's complains. I mean, not complains, but everybody's working hard every day and they 40-hour work weeks or more. And just realize that, like, you have so much home time right now. Like, this is the goal. If you were retired, even if you're working from home, it's kind of, you're still not really at work. Like, I worked from home before. You walk into the kitchen, make snacks when you want, you know, you play with the cat for 10 minutes, you know? So it's like, just take this time to appreciate that you're in a different circumstance and think about what's important in your life. And just don't try to make it through quarantine to get back to that life where you're doing the same things that you were doing before on autopilot, you know, like we were kind of talking about before, just take this chance to, like, reinvent your life if you want to, into a way that makes you more happy. You know, if you're kind of like, oh, my job, it's driving me nuts, I'm doing this job I don't like in this rut, whatever, you know, take what you're doing in quarantine and just remember what's important with your family and take that and run with it. Be nice to people, look at people's side of the story, hear them out on stuff. Everybody on, you know, Facebook is just trapped in their house, losing their minds. So just be cool with people. Everyone's got their own situation. It's not worth being rude. So maybe that's a good takeaway. That's what I'm doing.
I think it is a good takeaway. It's a good piece of advice to people. Larry, thanks for coming on the podcast today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Trent.
Have you ever listened to the podcast before?
Yeah, I listened to a couple episodes.
Oh, good. So recently. I don't know if you're so recently you listened to some?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Buddy
so
in Wisconsin. And
all right.
Else
perfect. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. So then you know that you get to do the sign off at the end here, yes?
Yeah, I do.
All right,
don't
perfect.
Really know what that entails, but I'll do it.
It's just signing us off however you want it to be.
All right. Well, from Trent and Larry, we love that you're all listening, and I hope you all enjoy yourselves, and we will see you later.